Hi, good evening, everybody. This is Wesley Pepper, and this is my podcast, Mr. Pepper's Art Lexia. This evening, we'll be talking about the current lockdown and how it's impacted artists on an emotional level, how it's impacted the processes, and how it will eventually impact the industry. So we'll unpack a bunch of perspectives and a bunch of ideas, and I'll be talking to a very good friend of mine from Harare, Zimbabwe.
Hi everyone, good evening. My name is Clarice Wadzanai Gorevema. I am mostly known as Wadzanai in the art industry, and I'm excited to be joining you.
Okay, thank you. just a heads up, Clarice and I have got an interesting relationship. We met on a WhatsApp group where I was sharing ideas on how we can forward our industry or change our industry. We wanted to start or want to start or in the process of starting our own online app gallery or an online gallery. But then COVID hit and in mid-March, and that just threw a spanner in everybody's wheel. So with that being said, I think that's an interesting starting point. So, Clara, so we've been, like here in South Africa, it's been however long. It feels a lot longer than 3 months, to be honest. The lockdown has affected many artists on so many different levels. I don't think it's all necessarily bad. It's not good either. But it's definitely affected it, and the industry is definitely changing in front of our eyes, actually. So just as an introduction, what is your take and how has the lockdown been so far in your part of the world from a creative perspective?
That is a very interesting question that you have forwarded. And it's a tricky one to answer. Because of the lockdown, there's been a lot of distance amongst us as artists in our communities, where we would normally interact, maybe at galleries, at fairs, exhibitions. That has been all out, you know. We instead locked in our homes, in our studios. And I think what's been the main means of communication has actually been online, digital.
Yeah.
WhatsApp, like you're telling everyone, we got to know each other through WhatsApp. Facebook, calls here and there. But it's not been the usual kind of way of keeping in touch.
That's an interesting point, because on my side, when our lockdown hit, I remember the president came on, it was a Sunday, and my roommate and I decided we're going to get the hell out of Johannesburg. It just didn't make sense to be in Joburg at that time because it's so congested and everything. And I eventually came home. And ever since then, I've been contacting everybody through either my phone or the laptop, through a device. And with my various projects that I've been working on throughout the lockdown, everything has moved digital. And the one big aspect I can notice is the communication has been tricky. It was one thing just talking to guys like, hey, how you doing, and this and that online. But all of a sudden, now that that's your only form of communication, I think the dynamics has shifted. Is that can you relate to that?
Definitely, yes. And you know, it's been quite interesting because you find that usually we have our heads bowed and we tugged into our canvases and we're doing the one painting or, you know, the drawing, and, you know, we've also now had to incorporate our phones in there for the sake of communication, be it with customers, be it with galleries, even for sales, you know. It's reaching the market, putting your work out there. It's really been digitalized. That's been the only way. Even to reach out to courier companies, I mean, it's It's an interesting dynamic that has come to us right now.
Let me add something on that, because we're based in Southern Africa, right? And before the lockdown, I know of a few galleries that is very strong online platforms, but I don't know of how busy they were before that and after. Now, I know a lot of galleries have been complaining that a lot of clients hasn't been browsing, and that makes actually complete sense. But I'm also interested, though, like from art gallery perspective, because I'd always affected them worse, to be honest, because my understanding is of the artists, especially my network, we're kind of versatile. So many artists have multiple incomes, and some has been able to adapt, and others not so, and there to be all adapting around or understanding the digital space. And I know from my side, I know that's a space that, as much as artists are represented there, so you look at like social media, there's some guys and some cats that has websites and you know, they have an e-commerce section. I know I certainly do, but I still don't really understand the space is as that I can call it my own. For example, like I know how a gallery works, how to set up an exhibition, and how to get sales, but to do it in digitally, it's a bit different. So from a Zimbabwe perspective, is it, I don't know, are artists panicking? Are they embracing it? And you know, how are they handling it?
Well, from my observation, I think the digital world is a new dynamic in our world, in the artist's world, especially where digital marketing is concerned. I have been observing how my colleagues have been faring. And incidentally, I took the opportunity of the lockdown to familiarize myself with the digital marketing world,
yeah,
and through Google. And that really opened my eyes to a lot of things. And I am now using that as a sort of a bar to measure how I'm seeing my colleagues doing. And what I'm realizing is that people are struggling. It's an extremely unfamiliar world. How to tread the waters is proving to be tricky.
Yeah.
Some do know that they can make use of Facebook, they can make use of Instagram, but the how-tos of actually promoting oneself there is proving to be a tricky one. Generally, I think, I don't know whether I could speak for most artists on this one, marketing has not been the greatest of our strengths. Normally, people were used to simply painting, doing they paint their paintings and they take them to the gallery, and the gallery takes over the rest of the business from there. And that has not been possible for most, and even for the galleries themselves, they're struggling to. And the whole dynamic of digital marketing is also new to them. So it's like a learning curve for everyone. Some are, the ones who have already built a platform seem to be doing fine, they seem to be doing okay. But for the new guy who's now suddenly faced with this monster called digital marketing, the digital world, it's proving to be.
If we say, it's a monster. It's a monster. Because I want to use that type of language. Like it's really a monster, because if you put it into perspective, right? Facebook. If you look at Facebook, right? Facebook has over 1 billion users, right? And that's bigger than any country in the world. So to fight for, it's hard enough to get yourself heard in, for example, in Johannesburg, the art world perceived to be very big, but I actually find it to be quite small because everyone really knows everybody. At least the people in the know and the people on the outside of that. It's not that many people. And even there, it's really tough to have people hear you. So now to fight with that with billions of other people, I mean, you know, different people, different countries have different access to resources and et cetera. If you look at people, for example, in the US and in the UK. So it's really, and the other thing, and this is post COVID, let's use that, is that we often got into debates about and I'll give you a working example. I would have a gig coming up and I'll put the post online, and I'm talking specifically Facebook, and I'll have like over 100 likes and X amount of shares and comments, etc. And then when the gig comes, and then it's like you're lucky if you get 20 people, and you know, and those are, and those, yeah, it's a monster. Yeah, it was a difficult thing to understand before that, and now during this, and now nobody got it right, as far as I'm concerned. Like nobody in that I know can say like, boom, this guy or this gallery or whatnot. So now to do it now, yes, like it, because now this is, I would say about 80%, maybe even more of our industry will exist digitally. It's a monster. And I know that depresses people. Like it's a huge like task that, and now you're in it, you know, we can't exactly do something else. At least I certainly don't want to. But yeah. So now we have to deal with this monster. So now, what is this old African proverb that says the and I'm paraphrasing it. About how you eat an elephant is bit by bit or piece by piece or along those lines. So what I'm saying is that we have to tackle it in small bites. So where do you start?
Where do we start? That's a very good question. I asked myself, where are you going to start? And I realized that I needed education. I really needed education. And when I dove in there, allowing myself to at least study the fundamentals of digital marketing, I realized that it's like a whole new world. The dynamics, for instance, you have to understand economics, the economics that's involved in digital marketing. We all use different currencies. How do I do the conversions? If I want to make 500 rand, how do I convert that to US dollars? That's now language that one needs to understand. Yeah. Because if you're going digital, it means you're going international, going global. Which market do you want to target? Who buys art the most? Which country buys art the most? How do I choose my target market? And all these markets have their own traditions, their own languages that you need to sort of adapt to. If say it's Germany, are you going to learn German? Are studying digital marketing sort of made me want to even make friends, because I realized, okay, if I'm going to be selling my artworks to Portugal or to Germany, for instance, I need to speak the language that those people understand.
Yeah.
And how long is it going to take me to learn? It means I need friends. I need people who understand the language. Yeah. I mean, even the street lingo, so that you're able to communicate in a way that your target market understands. So one really has to be willing to go all the way and learn and want to learn, because for one to really survive, like you're talking about all the likes and then the conversion to business, to actual businesses, is next to nothing. You have to understand why that is happening. Why am I not getting conversions? am I targeting the right people? Are the right people visiting my pages? Are the right people visiting my wall? Are the right people visiting my shop? You know, so how do I get to the right people? So all that comes with education. You have to. We don't have a choice if we're going to survive. We have to want to learn.
Yeah. You raised an interesting point. I think indirectly when you said that, like for example, if you want to go to Germany, how do you learn German and whatnot? As on my side, through my career, I've always understood the value of one's network, and you know, I pretty much have been staying alive for how many years through the people that I know through my network, and. Now that we are approaching this, I'm still going to call it this monster. You know, artist has a, at least from South African perspective, and the way the gallery and system is set up, or the the setup, artists basically work in isolation, you know?
That's true.
And now I think the value of the artist's network is more important than ever. For example, like if one wants to learn different, you know, different things, different countries and all of that, the artist can't do that on its own. So I'm pretty interested in that, man, in like, as a creative, on my side, I've always tried to, befriend, people from multiple industries. I'm always interested. I read up often on financial, things. I don't always understand it, but I understand sort of what's happening, and I know why certain things is happening. So with that in mind, how do you think the artist, or who and how do you think the artist has to add or and subtract in many ways to their network? Because now is that time, and we are, you know, we don't have a choice anymore. There's no such thing as working in isolation. I think that is that idea we can bury.
I think firstly, one has to know what they want to achieve with their art to start with. That will then define the path that one is then going to take. Am I painting as a hobby? Am I doing art as a profession? And who is my target market? Who do I want to reach to with my artwork? That needs to be defined. And once you've defined that, it will sort of point out who you're going to try and communicate with, who you're going to target.
Yeah. Yeah.
If, say, for instance, you are aiming at attracting the diplomatic world as the clientele for your art, you want to then get to know how to get into that circle. Firstly, your work has to be attractive to that circle to start with. It has to have meaning to them.
Yeah.
For instance, right now we have the whole Black Lives Matter.
Yes.
If one is going to be using that as a theme for their art, who is listening to this? Who needs to hear it? You know? Mm-hmm. And when you've defined that, you then sort of direct your work towards your audience, towards the correct audience that you want to hear, that you want to listen to this message.
Yeah.
So I think the first thing is define your work. What is it that I want to achieve? Set some goals. What do I want to achieve with this work? What is my vision with my work? And I've realized that usually, sometimes as artists, we tend to get carried away and we just work blindly.
Yeah,
but I now believe that in the environment that we are in, one has to be strategic in how they do their work. Who is my target? You have to be able to answer that. And when you know who your target is, then try and investigate and find out how best can I get to them? What works with them? Should I use Facebook? Should I use Instagram?
Mm.
Should I have a shop online? What will they listen to? Should I send emails? And all these are means of digital marketing communication, by the way. So, so when you know, if say your target market is a teenager, which channel are they likely to be on? Would they care for an email? I don't think so.
Yeah.
So you then use a channel that you know is going they're definitely going to hit on. The channel that's going to be effective for the message that you want to people to sort of to get. So I think there is a lot of strategic planning that needs to go in, and one has to be willing also to monitor and evaluate when you've decided on a certain path. I mean, most of us are new to this.
Yeah.
So we have to monitor and evaluate whether whatever it is that we've decided to do is actually working. And we have to be willing to learn and to accept if something is not working. We have to be willing to move on or to correct, try and find out, okay, where did I fail? You know, and when you know your failures, you then sort of see how you can convert them into achievements, into successes, you know. So that's my take.
You know, I've noticed what kept me alive for the longest time. I found that in order for an artist to exist, he or she needs to know so many things, and they need to multitask, and they need to self-evaluate, they need to everything, conceptualize the work, create the work, market the work. You have to know marketing, you have to know, you are basically like a one-man superhero, so to speak, because in the course of one day, because I know I'm incredibly emotional, and a lot of things move me, and through one day I can go through multiple different type of emotions, and I'll be working either on my own or working on a project or with people, without people. Those emotions, over time I had to learn how to manage them. And it is difficult because I can't. So I think that with the artist being able to have all that skills of able to self-evaluate you as a person is not easy. I mean, let's just look at that. That's a very difficult thing, and I just think artists are just incredible human beings, very strong human beings, and we just have a different type of ability, and now with this this new dawn that we are stepping into, I think now it's time for us to use that. The rest of the world doesn't, from my understanding, throughout during this lockdown, a lot of the the people I know outside of the arts have really been battling in ways that I think that artists can, and this kind of ties into that network, is that I think our skill set, our talent skills are bigger than just the canvas, you know, or the paper. And I think there's a big humanitarian element in owning the arts or calling yourself an artist. And I think now is really the time to flex that. And how that ties back into one's network is that, because if you know multiple different people from multiple industries and whatnot, you get a real interesting perspective on how things are dealing, and people are not coping. Artists aren't as well, because we are human too. And I want to give you a practical example, and we can talk about it. Like in Johannesburg, so my apartment is really small. You know, if one is cooped up in a physical tiny space, for such a long time with all this different fear mongering and all this nonsense that people see every day. You know, that fear and emotions get sort of out of control. And I think that artists have an interesting way to play that, because people are emotional. You know, somebody once said that nobody stays the same after being moved by a work of art. I read that, heard that somewhere. And now's a time for music, for literature, for murals, for graphic novels, for so much expression, because I think people need an outlet, you know, and it makes me excited as a creative being. And so I guess what I want to know from your side is Inzam, how are artists embracing this? We spoke about the, you know, being disorientated and not understanding the space, but do they understand, or rather are they guys who understand that an artist's influence is bigger than just his or her canvas?
Oh yes, of course. When we started getting into the lockdown and settling into it, there was a lot of disorientation going on. People couldn't concentrate, some couldn't paint, and you know, people were really asking themselves, even if we do paint, people were a bit dejected. What are we going to do with the work? Who's going to buy our work? Because this thing is, you know, the whole thing with COVID-19 has affected the whole world, including, you know, the customers who are overseas who would normally buy artworks. So people were a bit discouraged. They didn't know which way to go. But as time went on, I saw the pessimism sort of starting to wear off. And people were becoming a bit more optimistic. And people started telling the COVID-19 story.
Yeah, I think that's very important.
Yeah, and well, on my part, I am already talking of the post-COVID-19, because I'm saying, look, we need hope. And like you rightly said, as artists, we need to set a pace. We are mouthpieces of our communities, and we need to set a pace of hope for our communities, because there is a lot of gloom. There's been a lot of gloom going on.
Yeah.
People have lost their livelihoods. They've lost their jobs. They've lost, you know, the ordinary men on the street who, for instance, if you take the Zimbabwean economy, we've been in hardship for so long, and unemployment is quite high, and informal employment sector has been affected. It's been hit hard because everyone is supposed to be indoors. So even if you are a subsistence farmer with your 10 buckets of groundnuts, you still can't really reach the market. The market is there, but you can't reach it because people are locked in. So as artists, I feel we have a responsibility to be speaking to people and telling them there is hope. My latest painting is actually called Hope. It's a woman cycling into light with a child on her back. Because that is really what I feel at this point we should be communicating as artists. And a lot of people are still sort of painting the masks and, you know, talking about them. But I also feel that is rightly so. It's timely. It is what we are seeing right now.
But I also
feel that as artists, we need to set a pace now. I feel we now need to be communicating the way forward. We are here, yes. We are wearing our masks, yes. But what's next? Should we wait and start thinking when the night is over, or do we start planning now? Do we start thinking about the future now? How do we wade our way out of the waters? You know, so I feel that artists have a responsibility right now to be communicating with the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And saying, look, let's not sleep and relax. Let's be moving out of this and prepare for the new era that's dawning upon us.
Yeah, yeah. And it's here. I want to take you back just a little bit. You were talking about a painting or an artwork. I don't know if it was a painting, so to say, of someone cycling into the sunset.
Into the light.
So explain to me your processes, man. What medium, you know, what color, you know, that type of thing. Why the images, etc., etc.
All right. Firstly, I am passionate about women. Mm-hmm. I believe you give a woman a dollar, she will feed a community, she will feed a family.
Yeah, absolutely, you know? Absolutely. Yeah. No, for sure. For sure.
I felt like that's the angle that I wanted to take telling this story. And I asked my friend to comment on the painting. Mm-hmm. And he said to me, Your painting is dark, you know, there is a lot of brown. You know, and this brown is on the ground and it's sort of behind her.
Okay.
And then in front of her, there is, it's all bright yellows and, you know, I was playing with color. And her skirt is very bright because I believe that Africa, being African and being Zimbabwean, we are a very bright, sunny continent.
Mm.
So it's got all these happy colors.
Yes.
But at the same time, it has dark colors behind this lady who's cycling with a child on her back and a box of tomatoes that she's taking to the market.
Okay.
And she's cycling into this brightness. And my medium is acrylic.
Mm-hmm.
On canvas. And I'm saying, look, you've been stuck indoors.
Mm.
It's time to take the mask off. So she's not wearing a mask.
Yeah,
I want to get to the mask.
We're going to get to the mask.
Yeah, I know we're wearing them right now, and I'm not saying people should stop wearing them, no. But I'm saying a time will come when
yeah.
you take off your mask and you'll be able to soldier on the journey of feeding your family. So there is hope.
Mm.
That is what my painting is.
Yeah, no, that's beautiful. That's something. I can picture it like I'm sitting. okay. I don't know. I want to put this being polite because I want to talk about that mask. You see, because I've seen it everywhere. It's artists painting a mask and various people wearing a mask and all of that. Now I want to be very critical on this because, and I want to get really hard on this. So this is my take on it, right? I think that the art market, which is controlled by a very specific demographic, has been wholly, I'm talking from a South African perspective here. And it'll be interesting to know your side. Okay, so it's controlled by a very specific demographic that has old money. In other words, there's money that's been generational, and usually the aura or the taste, let me put it like that, attached around this money is conservatism, right? Is to protect. So my understanding is of big art collectors, it's not related with the artist, the amount of money is because they are protecting their money. So it's not really to do with the artist, because once it becomes about that high end, the way you value and look at the art is different, because it's not really about the technique and all of that. Okay, so we established that. So it's old money that sort of values art in that way. So what type of art do you want to represent? Through my career, I've noticed a very specific image of a black child, of a black figure, black bodies through art. And it's always half naked, half clad, black bodies, bare feet, kicking a ball, doing very third world-esque things, you know, crying and looking helpless. These images never looked like the African body today to stand ground, to take what belongs to them, to own what belongs to them. It's always passive. I want to use all these other very, very, very bad words, but But it
Please
sucks.
Don't.
Yeah, I'm biting my tongue here. but it sucks. The bottom line is it sucks. And there's value. There's so much money put behind it. And this mask, how I see it, is that it's literally closing the black body's face. It's literally closing your nose and your mouth, meaning that for now, moving forward, all the black body can do is hear, see, and react to that. I think it's quite a powerful thing that has been taken on in that way. I understand why artists are doing that, and I'll explain that. But I think that the powers that be have created that system in order to generate those type of images to please their market and is to protect their money. So it has nothing to do with the artist. Why artists are doing that is because we all need to get paid. It's as simple as that. And I will never disrespect, I'll never diss on any artist for making those images because we all need to get paid. But I will diss the industry for allowing them to create and or creating the environment to create these images because it is everywhere. And the same can be said with the big five, with the animals, because it's just so overproduced as if Africa, that the only thing that in Africa exists is the bush and some fucking wild animals, you know? What about our technology? What about our creativity? What about our innovation? There's so much more to us as African people, as like, you know, half naked clad black bodies kicking a ball and the bush, you know? And this has been going on. It has been generational, and it really pisses me off. And now I see the mask and I see they literally closing our face. Okay, so that's my take on
Well, it's an interesting point of view you have. But what I think at this point is that right now we have the whole globe as our stage, as artists, even the digital industry that is in existence now.
Mm-hmm.
We now have a platform that is so big where we can express ourselves. So it's really up to the artist now to determine where they want to get their bread from and how they want to get it. I sometimes feel that We've been crying foul over a lot of things for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we need to take ownership and move the motion in our own way and play our game in our own way. We are the artists. And we need to reach a point where we can sacrifice certain things in order to achieve certain things.
Yeah.
Forgo today's bread and achieve what you really want to achieve. Sometimes I know it's not an easy thing. It's not an easy sacrifice, but this is where education also should also kind of open us up. I'm not necessarily saying go back to school, sit behind a desk, but we need to open our eyes and go beyond the horizons that we've always known. Because really, there is scope for us to reach beyond the horizons that we know. We can go beyond the distance that the eye can see now.
Yes.
And that should come with a lot of opportunities for all of us. We can tell our stories our way, in the way that we want to tell our story. I think that stage is there.
Yeah.
And what we need to know is how to position ourselves on this stage. Do we want center stage? Do we want the corner of the stage? Or it's now entirely up to us. I personally don't like to always cry foul, but I like to think, okay, how best can I deal with the situation and take it up from there.
Yeah, it's really abstract times we are moving in, and artists need to step to the plate now. I think Or rather, I have this dream. It's like
you have a dream.
I realized that as I was saying it, so I'm trying to retract what I. But I have this vision. Let me use the vision. Let me use the word vision. Of like, I
it's
just,
okay to have a dream. It's fine. We're good with dreams.
Just not the Martin Luther King dream. I think that I would just like to see artists take a more a bigger role in society as opposed to just creating images, you know, that has no social or impact or value. I just think as creators we can impact so many different industries and industries like technology, which is the tech industry, which is going to boom, marketing, advertising, job, and like even in government, at least our local government. Yeah, there's one or two actors that has become political, ended up in a political, but they are the minority, you know, like the minority of the minority. And I just think that our perspectives and the way we view the world is what the world needs now. It doesn't need politics. It doesn't need all these other things. It needs something different. And yeah, man, I just feel it's our time. And I've been saying that for a long time now. So I would hope that somewhere someone is listening. So you know, Clarice, let's we've been talking now for a little while. Let's just not wrap up, but let's just close off kinda and sort of creatively, what are you busy with as in like today?
Well, painting.
Such a beautiful short answer, Dan.
I think that's predictable.
So Clarice, let's kind of wrap it up. We've been talking for a minute here. Thanks a lot, man. Thanks for the insight and everything. It's been,
that's my pleasure. It's been
great. It's been great.
I hope something good comes out. And it's amazing how time just flies by.
It does, eh? It does. It does. Because I'm keeping my eye on that the whole time. And I'm like, wow. And whatnot. But yeah, man. That's been great, man. Thank you.
Yeah, it's just quite interesting.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun.